An hour of smiles in town all tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salipatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salipatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen, and his Mighty Allen Art Players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of anxious and eager amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight. That crowd, they're cheering madly as they march along with Fred Allen and his parade to the old town hall. Fred zigzagging up the street, the band sags where Fred sings, and the Mighty Allen Art Players are trailing behind in their kiddie cars. Let's join the merry throng, everybody. Here they come, old folks.
Begins at 40, Grandpa. When does it begin?
Life begins every Wednesday, Bobby. In just another minute, it's Town Hall tonight.
Leap year, girl.
This is Leap Year Harold, and I'm a girl ready to ask a question.
I know your question, Alice. You want me to turn on the radio. It's Town Hall tonight. Gigolo.
I hired you for a gigolo, mister, and I say you're going to dance.
It may mean my future, madam, but I refuse to budge for an hour. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, here we are in front of the old Town Hall, folks, and there's Fred just opening the doors and welcoming the crowd. Listen.
Little drops of laughter, little bars of song. Make the Town Hall show, folks. It's just 1 hour long. If you'll kindly pass right in. Step to the right, please.
Hi there, Mr. Allen.
Hello there, Mrs. Mint. Taking those flowers in to throw at the actors?
You bet. It's poison ivy for the Mighty Allen Art Players.
Well, poison ivy is better than no flowers at all. Go right in. Hi there, Waldo.
Hi, Mr. Allen. Can I go in your amateurs?
You bet you can, son. What do you do?
I don't sing. The music goes round and round.
You don't? Well, go right in, son. You'll be a sensation. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
We're all set to go, Fred.
Righto, Harry. Tell Peter we'll open with... Great day.
Okay, Fred. It's all yours, Peter.
When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout. There's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you. Somebody warn you. We'll hit his horn. Not far away, hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day.
Presenting that jubilant juggernaut of joyous jamboree and jaunty, jiving gesticulation, Fred Allen in person.
You take the jug out of that juggernaut and just set it over there, Harry.
Right, right.
Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before putting our toupees on the dumbwaiter and letting down our hair for the next hour, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, public grocer number one, says a lot of you folks who won't bother to read pie labels have been lifting up the tops of the pies to see what's inside. Now, starting tomorrow, Hodge is selling a new style pie with a zipper down the middle. If you're in a hurry, you can zip open the pie and take a good look before you get stuck. So much for pastry tasters, and now for the town hall news. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
What will happen if the price of cotton goes any lower?
Well, there'll be a drop in sheets, I guess, Fred. I get it. Your picture sheet will be right down.
Thank you. Could you by any chance explain the meaning of an electrical detour?
Yes, sir. That's where you have to turn off the main lights. Here they go.
Oh, we've had that today already in New York, haven't we? The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Yonkers, New York. 97% of all children in Yonkers public schools have bank accounts of school savings system. Town Hall News shows what may happen if scholars get too much money. The scene, the Yonkers schoolroom of tomorrow.
Take your seat, Bilbo. Quiet, quiet, class. Since you children have gotten wealthy, I can't do a thing with you. Now, you, Mildred, stop that whispering.
It's Tommy Clark, teacher. He's trying to borrow $20 from me.
Aren't you ashamed, Tommy?
No, teacher. There comes a time in the life of every girl when a guy needs $20.
Mildred, time hasn't come yet. Now, you sit down.
Okay.
Just because you've got a first mortgage on the school, Tommy, don't think you're a privileged character.
Watch the conversation, babe, or I'll foreclose.
Hello, Miss Sauer, 8th grade speaking. Tommy Clark. Yes, he's here. Telephone, Tommy.
Okay. Hello? What? Canadian roller skates down 10 points. Cuban jelly beans off 20. No, don't tell. I'll be ruined. Now, keep your nerve, Morgan. I'll stop in after school and put up the margin. Okay.
Who is that, Tommy? Your father?
No, my broker. More margin. That's all I ever hear out of that guy, margin.
Will you sit down, Tommy? Put your mind on your lesson.
How can I concentrate? I got two horses going today. It's tropical.
I've told you you'll come to a bad end playing the horses.
If those two dogs don't come in today, I'm a pauper.
When are you going to stop betting?
I'll talk you, teacher, to find out.
That's the last straw. You're not going to make a gambling den out of this classroom. I'm taking you home to your father.
Okay, my car is outside. I'll call a chauffeur.
Your father will make you pay for this.
If you come with me, I'll win $10.
How?
I bet the old man a sawbuck I'd bring a dame out to the house before noontime.
New Haven, Connecticut. Dr. Howard W. Haggard, head of applied psychology at Yale University, says that businessmen to work at top speed need more than 3 meals a day. Town Hall News shows how big business office will look if executives eat more often during business hours. The scene, the president's office at the Eureka Mothball Company.
Good morning, Miss Hyde.
Good morning, Mr. Hodge.
Is my food ready?
Yes, sir. There's a beef stew with a poached egg on it in your desk.
Excellent. I can't start the day on an empty stomach.
Did you have breakfast?
Only 600 calories. Just an omelet smothered with lamb chops. Ah, this stew is good.
Your mail's ready, Mr. Hogg.
All right, take away these dishes.
Yes, sir. That's a great idea of yours, having a chef right here in the office.
Yeah, save time. Dr. Haggard says we businessmen have got to eat more. Take a letter. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Before we start, buzz for my chef.
Yes, sir.
That stew is wearing off. I'll need a sandwich after I dictate.
You first, Mr. Hogg.
Yes, Olson. What's on the fire?
I got skinny hen pen dowdy with cucumber frisk. 400 whitemen.
Ah, just right. Bring it in.
Okey pokey.
That's better. Excuse me. Take a look. Hello? What? No, you've got the wrong number.
Well, here's the R, Mr. Hogg. One guinea hen, 10 dowdy.
Put it here, Olson. That'll be all.
Okey pokey.
Ah, I'm famished. I'll stop right in.
But you haven't finished your letter, Mr. Hogg.
I know, but I have to replace those calories I burned up on that wrong number. Ah, this guinea hen is vitalizing.
You're certainly packing it in, Mr. Hogg.
A businessman travels on his stomach, Miss Type. Well, now we'll get at that letter. Excuse me.
I'm ready.
Funds and Camper Company, gentlemen.
Oh, that's 12 o'clock.
So it is. I've got to run, Miss Type.
But, Mr. Hogg...
It's 12 o'clock, isn't it?
Yes, but this is the third day you've started this letter.
I can't stop now, Miss Type.
But you owe this man.
Yes, but what I owe myself is more important. I'm going.
Going where, Mr. Hogg?
Out to lunch.
Washington, D.C. Representative Samuel Dickstein of New York proposes anti-gigolo bills to protect wealthy spinsters from designing foreign noblemen who propose marriage. If bill is passed, Town Hall News shows how government will probably protect wealthy spinsters about to fall for title. The scene, Miss Winston Caster's townhouse, the drawing room.
That's the bell called, Miss Caster.
Yes, Shutler. I'm expecting the Grand Duke Mikhail, Marquis of Nizhny Novgorod.
Yes, madam.
The Grand Duke and I must not be disturbed.
I understand. An affair de la neck, madam.
Oh, if the Grand Duke proposes this evening, I shall have a titan at last. He's at the door, Chutney. Join him and leave us alone.
Yes, madam. Ah, Bublitsche. Fly into mine arms, my Dobovich.
Oh, Mikhail, my Dukey.
I have looked you up and down, my Schnecken. Up in Bread Street and down in Don. I love you.
You mean, Mikhail?
Yes, I will marry you. There is no time to lose.
I have nothing to give you but money, Mikhail.
It is enough. I have nothing to give you but title.
What title?
Marry me, and you will be Grand Duchess Mikhaila of Nizhny Novgorod and all points west.
Yes.
You will be first Viscountess of Minsk, Empress of Latke, and Marchioness of the Volga Boatmen.
Yes, yes, go on, Mikhail.
You will be Queen of Blinta, Baroness of Borsch, First Lady of the Pulke.
First Lady of the Pulke. Oh, I'm weakening, Mikhail.
Come, fly with me, Bublitsche.
Yes, Mikhail, I will fly.
Up, in the name of the law.
Stand back, butler. We are eloping.
Chutney, what is the meaning of this?
I may be chutney to you, madam, but without these sideburns and this dickie, I'm Bob Turner of U.S. Secret Service.
Down the bitch. I'm Pinch the bitch.
Chutney, my butler, a G-man.
Yes, Miss Kessler, sent from Spencer headquarters to protect you from this scheming imposter.
Imposter? Then my Mikhail is not a grand duke.
No, he's Sergei Fink. A wholesale herring operator from Second Avenue.
And he has no title?
Only one. He's known on the east side as Gefilte Joe. Come on, Gefilte.
Yes, out of my life, you Gefilte.
Well, I'll go, but you'll be herring from me later.
Say, Fred... Fred, I've got it. I've got it.
Well, maybe I have too, Harry. What is it?
It's a riddle.
Oh, you've got it a riddle, hey? And the usual procedure is for me to ask you what it is. Is that it?
Oh, you don't have to ask me, Fred. I'll tell you anyhow. Here it is. What's the difference?
What's the difference? What's the riddle?
That's it.
What's it? Why doesn't somebody tell me these things? Rushing.
Well, now listen,
confusing
Fred.
Confusing me.
Here is what I mean. You brush your teeth with any kind of toothpaste until you finish the tube. Then get a red and yellow striped tube of Ipana and brush your teeth with that for the same length of time. Now, what's the difference?
Oh, I get it, Harry.
Right, Fred, and everyone will get it. Cleaner, brighter teeth and stronger, healthier gums. If they'll just use Ipana, for in the words of dentists all over the country, your teeth are seldom attractive if your gums are flabby and tender. And most of the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays are too soft to give our gums the exercise they must have. That's why we say every time you brush your teeth with pleasant-tasting Ipana, massage a little of it into your gums to tone and stimulate them. You never have pink toothbrush warning you that your gums are too tender. And you'll always have brilliant, sparkling teeth if you'll always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
Dan Steedman, the Ipana Troubadour, playing Keep Your Fingers Crossed. Now, on Friday night, there will be a hog-calling contest here at the town hall. If the hog-callers get any results, there will be a pork barbecue right after the contest. Now, on Thursday afternoon... Oh, quiet, please. If that's someone from Philadelphia trying to open the Democratic Convention ahead of time, I'll be down there disguised as Governor Talmadge in a minute.
Hello.
Well... Well, as I live and try never to step on spinach, so I won't leave footprints on the sands of time, if it isn't Portland.
Yes, I'm just coming home from the doctor's, so I thought I'd stop in.
Say, your finger's all bandaged. What happened?
I thought it was broken, but the doctor says it's only sprained.
How could you possibly sprain the third finger on your hand?
I was pressing the middle valve down.
Pressing the middle valve down? I guess that's where they got the idea for that song. It goes round and round. Somebody peeked into your head and saw what was going on.
Oh, you can laugh, but I know my B's and C's.
You don't mean your ABCs, do you?
Oh, there aren't any more A's. They're unconstitutional.
Really? Well, the AAA ruling doesn't bother you, does it?
No, but it affects Papa. Last year, he got paid to kill our cow. This year, he doesn't know what to do.
Well, he doesn't have to be upset. They may save half of the AAA.
Yes, but Papa can't kill half a cow, can he?
Well, don't worry about it. Everything's going to come out all right.
It's too much for me. I don't know what's going on.
Then you've joined the great majority, eh? If you're worried about the future, the best thing to do is to send to your congressman or the nearest fortune teller.
I had my tea leaves read last week. Did you ever have a gypsy look in your teacup?
Only once. She owned the place and bawled me out for using too much sugar.
Gypsies always look tired to me.
Yes, they do. It's the kind of tea gypsies have to read today that makes them always look tired.
You mean they have bags under their eyes all day?
That's it. Give me a good coffee phrenologist any day.
Oh, how can anyone tell your fortune from the mud in a teacup?
In a coffee
in a cup,
coffee you mean?
Cup.
It's all right. Never swap drinks in the middle of a strip. You know, it's that old thing. Never swap horses in the middle of a scene. Now, do you want to get it straight again?
How can anyone tell your fortune from the mud in a coffee cup?
Oh, boy. The answer will now have to be twice as funny because you've asked the question twice. Well, a coffee phrenologist doesn't wait until your coffee is ground. He feels your beans.
Oh, I get it. You're trying to pull my leg.
No, I'm not. Your stocking must be shrinking.
Gosh, every time I come in here, it ends up in a battle of wits.
Well, you're half right. It ends in a battle. And now, if you want to run along home and think up some sanctions...
Oh, I brought a sanction with me. Will I,
oh, Will, oh, you might as well think Bill Thompson.
Hey, I'm I feel like a feather in the breeze, flying high and raring to tickle.
Now, just a minute, Rustic. A man is known by the company he keeps. And if you're seen around here, you're going to set me back about 10 years socially.
Yeah? Well, let me tell you, Mr. Dirty Vest, knowing you ain't no shortcut to Park Avenue.
If you strike Mr. Allen Willoughby, I'll never forget you.
But don't worry, Portland. If this bumpkin raises his hand, it will only be to leave the room.
Now, see here. You watch your blabbing, Mr. Hanky-Panky. I had a tussle with the know-it-all last week. Well, sir, I hit him on top of the derby. Last I seen him, his friends was unbuttoning his vest to see what become of his head.
Well, if I hit a man on the conch, his nose generally ends up so low, when he inhales, he vacuums the sidewalk.
Gosh, this is terrible. You won't start anything, will you, Willoughby?
Well, I ain't so sure, Potty. Sometimes I'm as nice as pie, and jingo, a word drops, and I'm a Frankenstein.
Well, you may be a monster around the town pump, jerk, but you're a pixie with an inferiority complex to me.
Well, turn my damper halfway down. Who you call a jerk, Mr. Prince Cannon?
I think Willoughby looks pretty snappy, Mr. Allen.
What snappy? That suit looks as though somebody started to kidnap him and ran away and left him in the bag.
I dress this way on purpose. I'm a plain clothes man.
I'll say Willoughby's a detective.
A detective. He couldn't find the violin under Rubinov's disc.
Oh, no? Well, how'd you like to know I just finished my correspondence course in detective? And as soon as I find the post office, I'll get my diploma.
Knowing your flashlight and badge, Willoughby.
Here, take a gander at these, Mr. Wise, William. I solved my first mystery right today, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say it was almost a kidnapping.
It sure almost was. Mrs. Pickens' baby buggy was missing this morning, and she called me in.
What did you do?
Well, first, I broke in the door. Then I snapped the cuffs on Miss Pickens. Then I started drilling her.
Did you learn anything?
Did I? Why, I gave her the work, and she turned stool pigeon. She finished the baby. It was there, but the buggy was missing.
Oh, boy! A case! What did you do, Willoughby?
Well, quick as all that, I snapped stuff onto the baby and started drilling it.
Did the baby come clean?
No, the baby wouldn't come.
Oh, boy! Didn't I, Willoughby?
Well, I hid in the car until Miss Perkins came home. Then I snapped stuff onto him. I grilled him, and he confessed.
Confessed why?
He confessed he didn't even know the baby buggy was missing.
Well, now we're getting someplace.
Oh, you bet you got it. The time had come to sleep. I stood outside the house for 4 hours.
Drilling what, Willoughby?
Drilling myself. I kept calling him myself. Maybe you might go through the buggy.
A poor asylum, I hope.
No, Mr. Nosey Nolan. I said if I was with a buggy, I'd go downhill. Well, sir, I laid down the street and away I rolled lickety-split. And where do you think I ended up?
Right beside the buggy.
No, came to under a truck. But across the street was the buggy.
If you had stayed where you were in the first place, the buggy could have found you in half that time.
If you have any odd crimes, Mr. Allen, Willoughby will be glad to clear them up.
I have a crime in mind right now.
I know, and I'll solve it before it's committed. Come on, Willoughby.
Hey, well, all right, but I'm only leaving to please you, Potty. I'm tough. Listen to this. I told you.
Graham Willoughby. So long, Portland.
Howie, hello.
Now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen, those fearless indoor sailors with a girl on every davenport. Tonight the boys sing, Got a Gal in California.
Poor old Tom, poor old Mom, there must be lonesome in Arkansas, but I
had to say goodbye.
Saddle my horse and call you the way I've lived. Met a gal that I love the best, and she wants to marry me. Got a gal in California,
beside the Atlantic. Yes, I got my ocean wrong, but I don't know right from wrong.
Cause the gal in California
has got me so romantic
that I don't know day from night, but I know that she's all right. One evening some engines attacked us, but I was too happy to see. I kept sitting right on a cactus with her upon my knee. Oh, gal in California,
yeah, has got me nearly frantic. I'll admit she's doggone sweet,
but the way that gal can eat. I've got a horse and he's my pal. I've got 3 cows in my corral, and soon I'll have to see that gal in California, where the folks don't stay out very late. Out in California, they take the sidewalk 10 at 8. Out in California, it's some town by heck, I swear, you can stand in the old town square and knock on every front door there. Out in California.
Minute. What's going on here, boy?
Well, partner, who are you?
Well, I'm proudly to denounce that I'm a member of the Peter Van Skidenskid's Hillbillies, my friend.
Well, that's so. Well, join up with us. Let's see what you can do.
Got the gal in, old boy, in. Hey, but I can't get to see her. The reason for this, huh? A fellow of it'll little black mustache.
Boy, your gal in California
has got me so romantic that I don't know black from white,
but I know that she's all right. She'll be 20 years old in the summer. She weighs a mere 349.
she's 7'2" in her stockings.
Gosh, the help he ain't big.
Oh, a gal in California.
Although she is gigantic, I'll admit she's mighty neat.
But the way that gal can eat, I've got a horse and he's my pal. I've got three cows in my corral, and soon I'll have to feed that gal in California.
Thank you, boys. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Harry Von Zell and I have been discussing newspaper ads. The lost and found columns are always full of things people are sorry they lost. But if we advertise the things we were glad we lost, Harry says he knows one ad that would appear all over the country tomorrow. Is that right, Harry?
That's right, Fred, and here's the ad. Lost, one man-sized grouse in vicinity of home. There's no reward as I have no further use for it. Just before I lost my grouse, my stomach was upset and I felt under par, which meant there were two things wrong with me. Waste in my body and too much acid in my system. So I just took Salopatica, because it's the mineral salt laxative that both rids the body of waste and combats acidity. So, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're feeling logy and under the weather, simply put 2 teaspoonfuls of Salopatica in a glass of water and drink it. Then you, too, can advertise Lost One Grouse. Just remember Salopatica for the smile of health.
Come to the Mighty Allen Art Players, ladies and gentlemen. The first actors ever to perform on a revolving stage during a performance so that they would be harder to hit. Tonight, these denizens of the Tank Towns present a Western drama entitled Home on the Range, or the only way a cowboy can cure his bow leg is to put his horse on a diet. Over to you, Peter.
Home, home on the range, where the deer and the cantaloupe play. Ma! Ma! Come in, yeah, pronto.
Yes, Captain.
Is that you shooting at me?
No, I'm at the dishes. Business is for a pleasure.
Well, seems like every time I start singing, something starts happening.
Last time you sang, the cattle walked off in the ranch. Had to ride out 10 miles to fetch him back.
Well, well, you better stop sucking in those cow's ears today, because I'm in the mood for rondelay. Home, home on the ridge. Who's a pepper in my recital? Look yonder and ascertain.
It's your good-for-nothing son, Sugar. He's drawing a bead on you from the yard.
Why, I'll brand his wet hide, the little varmint. Trigger! Trigger!
Yoo-hoo! You won't be, Paul Catcher?
What's all the shooting for, Trigger, son? You ain't aiming to plug. 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 You ain't aiming to plug your old paw, or are you?
I was aiming to, but I kept missing. What's the matter, son? You homesick and missing your paw that way?
Oh, I don't mind him singing through his nose more. It's the singing through his mouth that makes me shoot mad.
Well, put your gun up, son. Not so Paul puts up his gitter.
Well, all right, I'm putting up. I ain't afeard of you, son. I'm just putting my gitter up to humor you. It's your birthday.
Yep, it's your birthday, Sugar.
Can't I go over and shoot up them movie kids at the Darlington Ranch, Paul?
No, now them movie kids is having a party today, son. You leave them be.
Yes, you sit down and play with your Bowie knife.
Oh, I got me something to play with right here, Ma.
Yeah, yeah. What you doing? Bringing that snake into the house.
Well, yesterday you told me I ought to get a rattle to play with, didn't you?
Yeah, but I further told you to take the rattle out of the snake before you started playing.
Your paw's right, son. Put that snake back in your blouse.
Hey, who all's that are coming up the trail?
Lord, I hope he's bringing something today.
Last time he come, we're stuffing about voting on straws for literary indigestion.
I'll let him in, Ma.
Wahoo! You got one of your wahoo left over. Right back at you, Pete. What you got?
Packing for Montgomery Robot. There you are, Captain. I'm in a hurry.
So long, Pete.
What is it for? A new catalog?
It's the farmer's almanac, is it?
No, it's something I got special for Trigger. A surprise for his birthday. I'll open it.
Oh, say, they're leather. There's two of them.
Yippee! They got things on them. What are they for?
Nose
bags for calves?
Oh, easy shoes, son. I got them for you for a present. There ain't no directions with them. I'll just put them on you haphazard.
You ain't a shoeing me, Paul Cactus. I ain't no dude.
I'm putting them on you, son. Grab him, Ma. Skin his arm.
Turn me loose, Ma.
I got you, son.
Yeah, that's right. Hold him, Ma. I'll slip this one on. Here, take your foot out of your pa's mouth, son. Ah, they're both on now. Let him free, Ma.
All right. How do they feel standing, Trigger?
I can't walk, Ma.
Well, you get used to them, son. I had to braid your toes to get them off.
What? I'll get to her this time.
Oh, you missed him again, Trigger.
I reckon, Ma. I reckon, but I'll get somebody for this.
Don't you go a-shooting up their movie, kids.